All right, we get to start a new book this morning. We're in the book of Joshua, having finished Deuteronomy as we go verse by verse through the Bible. Joshua, as we're going to get into that, it continues the story where we were. The Lord has been preparing the people to go into the promised land. And Joshua is the book of conquest, where they finally get a chance to come into the land. God was fulfilling his promises to bring the Israelites into the land that he was giving them. And you'll notice he brings it up a number of times here, the land that he was giving to them. It's a gift from God that he has blessed them with this promised land. So remember, the Lord had promised this land to Abraham and his descendants all the way back in Genesis 12, and we spent some time in that passage. So the Lord said he would give it to Abraham and his descendants, and this is the fulfillment that finally get a chance to see them have enough faith to go into the land and obey the Lord. So this is why it's called the Promised Land, because the Lord had promised it a long time ago to Abraham, and now here it's being completely fulfilled as they are able to move into it. So think of this land, as we look at the spiritual lessons on this, think of it as the land of God's promises. It's a rich land. The Lord said it was flowing with milk and honey. For us, it's flowing with the milk and honey of God's word. And we understand what a blessing it is to have them things from the Lord. So some thoughts now on the promises of God when you think about this, some things that we need to grasp from this. We act on God's promises by faith. We're going to spend a little more time talking about that when we get into the passage. But, you know, it's one thing to know God's promises, but it's another thing to believe them and to act on them. And it's kind of like if we were outside the promised land and the Lord says, hey, the promised land is there. It's got all this stuff. Man, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. And we said, yeah, we know that. We know that. And then the Lord said, are you going to go in the land? Well, we know it's there. You know, it's like it's not doing you any good unless you go in the land. You know, I think about it kind of like when you have medicine, that the medicine's going to help you, but you have to take it. You know, you can explain everything you want about this medicine, how good it is, and that's all head knowledge. But until you take it and apply it, you know, you're not going to see the benefit of it. So the same thing with God's promises. And we're going to keep hitting this, because the life the Lord wants us to have is a life of faith, that we have to trust God. When he tells us things, we have to say, amen, that's true, I believe it, and I'm going to live like that, okay? So the Lord's really going to hit us on that. He's been talking a lot about obedience, remember, through Deuteronomy. That was the theme of that book, is obedience. And now it's like, okay, now you get a chance to practice that obedience, now that he's been pushing that so much. So when it comes to the promises of God, we act on those promises by faith. And that's when we really see some things start happening. Now there are some Christians who have never stepped out in faith and acted on the promises of God. Okay? These are the picture we get of them are the people that wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. Okay? They're saved, but they're just not living by faith. I mean, the promised land was there all that time. Right? The Lord said, it's yours, go in and take it. And the first generation said, no, we don't think it's going to work. No faith. All right? So they ended up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And that's a sad picture of Christians who know there are promises of God, but they're never going to step out on them and see. And you know, if you have trusted God and you've stepped out on some of those promises, it's scary a lot of times. It's scary because you're thinking, I know you said this, Lord. I don't see anything, but I'm going to step out on it and hope that you're there. And when you trust God, you find out he is there, you know. And once we've experienced that, we need to share that with other believers, our brothers and sisters in Christ, that you can trust him. You can step out. He is there. I know you don't see it right now, but he's there. You know, you think of Peter walking on the water is a good picture of that. That's not possible for you to do that. But if Jesus says you can do it, guess what? You can do it, okay? And we'll talk about this some more too. It's got to be the Lord's leading. If he's leading though, he's telling you to do it, doesn't matter what the circumstances look like, you can do it, okay? So God was leading this second generation now, these people who are the first generation didn't make it. Remember the lack of faith. The Lord said, I'm not going to let you in since you didn't trust me to go in when I told you to. So they ended up dying in the wilderness. Now we're in the second generation, and the Lord's going to lead them in to conquer the land. And that's the goal. So remember, The spiritual picture for us is that God's bringing us into the Spirit-filled life. We're here in the home. Is that me or is that something else? Outside? Okay, good. I thought it was me. All right, so the Lord's going to lead them now into the land. And remember that spiritual picture again. As we think about the promised land, it's a picture of the Spirit-filled life. And we'll give more details of how you can actually see that in the scriptures here. But when we talk about the Spirit-filled life, that's where the Lord is leading us. That's where we're listening. We're following Him. And it is a life of conquest. We're winning spiritual battles. We're seeing spiritual victories as we're following the Lord. Now, somebody might say, as you think about this and you're contemplating this, you might say, but I don't want to be in a battle. I don't want to do that. I want to stay at a nice, peaceful place, and I don't want to be involved in that. But think this one through with me. If you're a true Christian, then you're already at war. Maybe you don't know it yet. But the Bible says this, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And we're also told in that same section to put on the whole armor of God. Okay? Now these things were not written to church leaders. It wasn't written just to them. It was written to the entire church. So if that's the case, then we're all at warfare. We've got an enemy who's against us, and the Lord has told us how to fight the enemy and how to put His armor on and to stand strong in the evil day to be able to stand at the end of the day. Okay, so when we get to this great book of Joshua, in it the Lord's going to teach us how to be victorious in the Spirit-filled life. And now that's what we're called to. That's what the Lord commands us to be, filled with the Spirit. So we get a chance to understand, okay, how does this work, Lord? And He's going to give us some great lessons in this book. All right, let's jump into chapter 1 of Joshua, starting at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, that was his dad, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, rise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. And the Lord again says He is giving this land to them. Now the Lord was saying to Joshua, He says, Moses is gone. He said, Moses is dead. And you think about some of the thoughts that go with that. Moses is gone and he's not coming back. But the Lord is letting Joshua know, I'm not leaving. I'm here for you, always. And you know, maybe somebody needs to hear that today, that the Lord is here for you, always. Leaders may change, the Lord may have things changing around us, but God is the same. And He's always here, and He's always with us, and He's not going anywhere. So we're so encouraged by that. So you think about this, Moses wasn't going to be there for Joshua to go to for advice, but God was, okay? And praise God that He left us His Word, He left us His Holy Spirit so He could speak to us and lead us and guide us. Man, when you compare where we're at compared to where those folks were back then, we are so, so blessed. We've got the completed Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit inside us. I mean, we have so much going for us to hear from the Lord. It is so amazing. So we're very thankful. And like with Joshua here, he had to deal with that issue that Moses is gone, and I can't go to him and ask him, what do you think about this? He's not there, but the Lord is. And be honest, it was the Lord working through Moses anyway, right? So you're still going to the source of all that help. Now, a couple things here. Joshua, at this time, when he's going to take these people into the land, he was somewhere between 80 to 90 years old at this point. All right, and I know it's good for us just to think this through a little bit, because sometimes the Sunday school pictures they give you, you know, are this young whippersnapper that's ready to run in there and he's all buff and everything, you know. This guy's 80 to 90 years old. He's about ready to lead them into the land. So the reality really kind of hits you when you think this one through. But 40 years earlier, he was one of the original spies who was sent in to check out the land for that first generation. Remember, Joshua and Caleb, they were the only two spies who brought back a good report, but the people rejected their insights at that point. They said, no, I don't think you guys are right. We're afraid of that place. We're afraid of those giants. We don't want to go in there. So Joshua, he already was standing for the Lord way back then, you know, 40 years earlier. And, excuse me, I think about these guys sometimes. And if you ever put yourself in the shoes of Joshua and Caleb, they came back from the land with a shining report that, guys, we can do this. We can do this. And, of course, everybody else brought the evil report, the Lord said, the one that says, don't trust God. He's not telling us the truth. We're going to get killed if we go in there and all the evil. And the people chose to believe that. But can you imagine being Joshua and Caleb having to wander in the wilderness for 40 years when you're thinking we could have done this 40 years ago instead of waiting till now? And Moses was there too. I mean, Moses went through that same struggle, like, oh my goodness, we got to wander around all that time. So here's Joshua now. He's been a man of faith for quite some time. I want you to look at something the Lord had said that Joshua has going for him. We saw this last time. If you turn back a page or so in your Bible to Deuteronomy 34 and look at verse 9. It says, now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. Man, that's a blessing right there. He's going to need that for where he's going and what he's doing. He was full of the spirit of wisdom. And it says why? For Moses had laid his hands on him. So here's this guy, Joshua, that the Lord has been using for a long time. And he was at Moses' right hand a lot of the time of Moses' ministry. We see him hanging around the tent of meeting at times, you know. So we know he was the only guy that we know of that was able to see the close relationship between Moses and the Lord. Because he was right there when Moses was talking to the Lord and the Lord was speaking to him. So this Joshua is a blessed guy to be in the place he's been in, but it was a tough place to have to wait 40 years to see the fulfillment of this promise. But to prepare him to go in, the Lord gave him this spirit of wisdom. And you know, again, we're so blessed in the New Testament. The Bible tells us we can pray for wisdom. We can ask God for wisdom, and he will give it to us if we don't doubt. If we don't say, Lord, please give me wisdom, and then we say, well, I think I'll worry about this myself, Lord. That's okay, I got this one. And he'll say, okay, I was going to give you wisdom, but if you want to handle this one, you go for it. You know, and then we find out we needed his wisdom anyway. But the Lord promises to give us that if we simply ask. Well, he blesses Joshua this, okay, that he's now prepared to go in to lead these people. Because of his age? No. Because he's been around 80 years? Is that enough? No, it's not. He needs a supernatural spirit of wisdom from God to lead, okay? And that's humbling for us because sometimes we think our age, our maturity should be enough. It's not enough. We need the wisdom of God to lead us, and it's a supernatural wisdom. You can't go to school and get this. This can only be found in the Lord. So we have to go to him. And just like this last week, we prayed and prayed for that weather to take, the Lord would control that. You can't go to school to find out what class can I take to figure out how to make the weather move aside, you know? It's not going to work. Only God has that answer. And we saw the Lord pull that off in an amazing way. And we just really praise him for that. Now, I don't know if you notice this. What's funny is Joshua's title here. The Lord called him at the end of verse 1, Moses' assistant. Okay? Now, what did it say Moses was earlier? It says in verse 1, he called him Moses the servant of the Lord. So, Joshua was the assistant of a servant. When you think about his full title, okay? That's not too impressive to the world that you would put on your resume, I'm an assistant to a servant. And they would go, really? So what did you do? You know, I mean, if the servant's already doing the grunt work, what did you do, right? But in the eyes of the Lord, that's awesome to be an assistant to a servant because the servant is the top of the list in the Lord's way of looking at things. The Lord loves to take someone who's willing to humble themselves, and then he lifts them up. That's his promise. So if we're willing to humble ourselves, the Lord says, I will help you. I will lift you up. I will use you. And it's interesting, the title servant now is actually the highest title in the eyes of the Lord. Because what does he say when we get to be with him? He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Not CEO, not ruler, not pastor, not whatever you would come up with. It's servant. That's the highest title. So although someone might look at Joshua's credentials here as his title goes and say, I don't think we need you, the Lord would say, you're missing out one of the best guys around right here, because he's willing to submit himself to a servant and work with him. Now think about the spiritual pictures we get here too, because Joshua did something that Moses couldn't do. And what was that? He brought the people into the promised land. Now there's an amazing spiritual picture there. We mentioned this before, if you remember. Moses is a picture of the law for us. The law will not take you into the promised land. Joshua is the picture of Jesus. Matter of fact, the name Jesus in the New Testament would be Joshua. That's the Hebrew way of it. It's the same name. And they both Joshua and Jesus mean Yahweh saves. It's a picture of the Lord and his salvation. So when we see this picture, who takes you into the promised land? Only Jesus can do that, all right? And the picture there is, unless you have faith in Christ, there, to start with, you couldn't even enter the promised land. The promised land is for believers, okay? It's not for the lost. They wouldn't have a clue on what to do with it once they were there anyway. This is a spiritual thing, and that's why it's such a privilege for you and me to enter into a spirit-filled life. A lost person can't do that. It's impossible. You have to have the Spirit first to be filled with the Spirit, okay? And again, we'll talk about that some more too. We get further in. Now, I mentioned the Lord kept saying that I'm giving the land to the people. I'm giving the land to them. But they needed to take it, all right? And that's where the Lord said, you go in the land and you're going to conquer the land and I will go ahead of you and I will fight for you. But it's yours for the taking, okay? So he's given it to them. But they have to go in and take it. All right, and that's again a picture for us. The Lord gives us promises, but we need to believe them. We need to take them by faith that this is true, and we need to act on them. Okay, for instance, if God says, one of his promises is that I love you, God tells us that, then we take that by faith and we say, okay, Lord, I'm going to live my life believing that you love me. Okay, and that's where our faith comes in. And we talked about this before too, you know, but I know as we look in the mirror, a lot of times it's hard to believe that God could love us. And thankfully, we don't have to look in the mirror and say, well, God loves me because I'm me. No, he loves us because he's him, you know. It's because of his love. But if he tells you, I love you, believe that. He loves you. And we know the evidence of that, right? He said he so loved the world that he sent his son. So Jesus died on the cross. There's strong, strong evidence that you can believe what God said. You just don't send your son to die for someone that you don't care about, you know. So amazing. The Lord does fulfill his promises, but we have to take them. He tells us a lot, but we have to hold on to them and believe them. Go on to verse 3. As the Lord's talking to Joshua now, he says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. So God was going to provide for Joshua. He was going to take care of him. And he promises the same things to us too, right? That he's going to take care of all of our needs. Seek first the kingdom of God. All these things will be provided for you. And praise the Lord, we don't have to worry about it. We don't have to sweat it. We'll have our needs met because God promised to take care of us. He's a good dad. He loves his kids, right? Now, if you notice something here, and I know you guys with your observation as you practice that, you notice something here. He says, every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. That's past tense. It's already been given. The Lord didn't say, you know, when you get in there and you start walking around, then I'm going to say, okay, that one's yours and that one's yours and that one's yours. No. He said, every place you tread, I've already given it to you. It's already yours, okay? So think about this. Again, we're looking at this as the land of promises. Every promise in the book has been given to you if you're a believer. All right? Now, there's a distinction there. There's always application for us. There are some promises made specifically to the nation of Israel, and those physical promises will come true for them. Also, the spiritual side of it as well. But we get application, obviously, from them. We've been going through the Old Testament. As the Lord's speaking to Israel, we get application how it applies to us too. Okay? So every promise in the book has been given to you if you're a believer. They're all yours. The question is, how did you receive them? How do you do that? It's by faith. Okay? Think about this. I thought this is cool when you stop and think about it. One of the things Jesus said, it was a conditional promise. He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now think that one through. if you commit to following the Lord, what did he promise to do? Make you fishers of men. Would he really do that? He does do that. I mean, you think about this. We did that at the parade the other night. You know what we were doing? Fishing. Fishing for men. And everybody involved in that whole process, whatever you did, you popped the popcorn, you put the candy in the bags, you know, you were with us handing out popcorn, you were in the parade singing, whatever you were doing, anything you were doing to be involved in any part of that at all, Jesus was making you a fisher of men by simply following him. Isn't that amazing? Wow. So we love these promises, and all we have to do is trust him. Say, Lord, if you said you're going to make me a fisherman, I believe it. I don't know how you're going to do that. I don't know when, but I believe it, Lord. I'm going to follow you. I'm just going to see you make us fishers of men. Wow, love this stuff. So here's the principle now. So the Lord told him, every place the sole of your foot will tread on, I have given you. It's already yours, okay? Here's the principle. Every place God leads us in the spiritual life, he's already given it to us. Think about that. He's already given it to us. If he's leading, okay, which he did here, he's already told them, this land is yours. So any place you walk in there, I already gave it to you. It's already yours. So if the Lord leads us into any ministry, if he's leading, it's already ours. It's already ours. You know, it was so cool again this last week because through the week when they kept giving the weather reports and stuff, it's like, man, this parade is not going to happen. It is not going to happen. Every day got worse and worse and worse, you know? And it's like, oh, man. So we prayed. We prayed. Said, Lord, you told us to ask. We're praying. If it's not your will, if you're stopping it for some reason, we understand. But Lord, we're asking. Please do this. And mercy sakes, the Lord did. And that he pulled it off. We just want to praise him so much for that. Yeah. So if he's already, he says, wherever you put that foot, and if I could lead you into that ministry, it's already yours. Man, we thank you for that. Verse 4. From the wilderness, and this Lebanon is far. So the Lord's going to give them the boundaries of where the land is. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. So Lord said, this is the territory I've promised you. And it's a good chunk of land over there. I mean, it doesn't look too big on the map compared to what we're used to seeing. But it's a great piece of territory over there. The amazing thing is, they never took all of the land. The Lord said, it's yours. And they just never took it all. Okay? And we can look at that and shake our finger and everything and say, what in the world are you guys thinking? You know, God gave it to you. You just didn't take it. It was there. You know? The most they ever used the land, the most they ever had was under King David. And that was just for a short time. They didn't keep it. You know? Now, why didn't they take the whole land that God gave to them? They were content where they were. Or they got tired of fighting. Those are the big issues we see when they get into the promised land. Now think that one through. As Christians, may we never be content where we are. We need to continue to grow in Christ. Talking about our individual walk. You know what? There are so many promises God has given us in his word. I don't know of anybody personally who can say, I have experienced every single one of those promises, you know. There are more and more and more. Why is that? Because the Lord wants us to keep growing and keep growing until we're with Christ. So please don't ever get to the point where, you know, I got enough Christianity, I think, right here. I'm going to stop right here. Don't you dare. God has more for you. You got to grow more to be used more. And that's the goal. Why did the Lord leave us here? To reach more people. He could have saved us and brought us home immediately, but he didn't. He left us here to get the good news out, to serve him, to serve people, let him see what God is really like. So while we're here, don't be content where you are in your spiritual walk. Continue to grow and grow and grow, okay? I told some of the folks, I had a chance to meet a guy at the parade that I hadn't seen in a long time. And it was a real blessing that I got to lead him to Christ. And Lisa and I had him in our home 30 years ago. And he prayed to receive Christ right then. And I'd seen him off and on in the last 30 years, but just enough to kind of say hi, not to really talk. Well, at the parade the other night, I ran into him. And he said, he says, I sure hope I'm going to make it. And he pointed up. I said, you prayed a long time ago to receive Christ in your life, you know, and he's taking care of that, you know, because you received him. And you know what he said? He said, every night I thank Jesus for dying on the cross to pay for all my sins. I was so blessed. I told him, I said, I'm so thankful that you're in touch with the Lord still after all this time. Because you don't know. Sometimes people pray and you're hoping it's real, but you don't know, you know. And the sad thing is, that's why I tell you this right now, because he hasn't grown in Christ. He hasn't grown enough to know how safe he is in the Lord, that God's got his arms wrapped around him, you know, and he's his kid. And even as a good shepherd, he's not going to let the sheep wander off. He's going to go after him if he does. But he's never heard those things because the churches he's been in either were just so weak or not teaching the word or anything, you know. It's so important to grow in Christ. It's so important to grow. And I know some of the, I think the enemy's been messing with us a little bit here lately too, trying to say, look around at all these empty seats, you know, how come there aren't more folks here and stuff like that. But think this one through. I tell you what, I'm so encouraged to hear the reports coming back from Rich. Not for what he's experiencing so much, but what he's missing here. He said he was so blessed by the word that we had here. We kept getting the word out. Bible studies, we get the word out. Home fellowships, we get the word out. We just take the word, and we just keep putting the word out. That's amazing what God is doing. You yourself know. How many churches can you name that are just putting the word out, the word out, the word out? How many are doing that? See? So don't let the enemy mess with your mind and say, man, look at you guys, you know. You don't have anybody coming there. There's just a few people here. Forget that. The word is here. That's what God wants. The word, okay? And it's his job to bring people in. I said the Lord added to the church daily. That's what he does. We don't build his church. Jesus said, I will build my church. We just do what we're told. We keep putting the word out. Putting the word out. And you know what? As you're growing in Christ, you're affecting other lives that aren't around here. You're doing that work. So God's building you up, you know, to take the word out there. So don't keep it to yourself. When God gives you opportunity, man, put the word out there. We're going to see that more in the passage too as we go a little further there. All right? So it tells us there in verse 4, as the Lord gave him that direction, and he said, this shall all be your territory. One of the things they did, like I said, they not only got too content where they were, they stopped fighting. And that's extremely dangerous for the enemy to get you to the point where he wears you down and you stop fighting. Never give up. Never stop fighting, okay? Because this is a picture of a believer who stops growing. They refuse to take any more promises of the Lord and step out on them and trust God, okay? Now, go a little further in verse 5 here. It says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. So, who worked through Moses? It was God that was working through Moses, and he was going to work through Joshua, and he's going to work through you. Do you believe that? Okay. Jesus said this in Matthew 28, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And he said this, and lo, I am with you always. That's just what he told Joshua going into the promised land. I am always with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. And also we're told in the New Testament, Hebrews 13, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And the Lord is quoting this passage from the Old Testament applying to the New Testament body of Christ. So we're given that same promise. So if you say, how can I continue fighting? Because God's with you. What do you say? Well, I'm afraid I don't know if God's going to do that. Well, that's where faith comes in. You say, Lord, if you said you will, I believe you will. Some people might say, well, I'm too broken of a vessel. I don't think God can use me. God uses broke vessels. You take a look at the Apostle Paul before he got saved. That guy was a mess. He was out chasing the church down, hunting them down. And God turned that around, made him one of the greatest apostles. So we've been given the same promise that Moses and Joshua was given here. So God can and will work through you. You just need to trust him, step out in faith. God gives opportunities. You know, and all of the secret of their success wasn't based on them. It was based on God working through them. And you and I can do that. We just have to surrender and let God work through us. We just have to get out of the way. Now think about this. When he said that no man is going to be able to stand before you all the days of your life, these are men in the flesh, right? I mean, these are real people, he's saying. Nobody's going to be able to stand in front of you. Anybody you go against, trust in God, you will defeat. Okay? The encouragement for us is there, not even our own flesh can stop us if we're following the Lord. Okay? Because the Lord is with us, and He is more powerful than our flesh. Now, there are some tough battles we face. You know, even some tough addictions, per se, as the world calls them. But we keep on fighting. Now, the thing is, don't be content to just live in the rut of your sin. Keep fighting and don't quit till you're staring victory in the face. This is an encouraging book for anybody who's been troubled by sin in their life. We were talking about this after the parade the other night. Somebody was saying, you know, I'm struggling with sin. And they said, I know it's a good thing. If I'm not struggling with sin, that's a bad thing. If I'm enjoying my sin. But if you're struggling with sin, that's a really good sign that the Holy Spirit is in you, and that's why you're struggling. Because the Spirit won't let you have peace once you come to Christ and He comes into your life. Okay? So struggling with sin is a good thing. Don't ever stop, though. Don't say, man, I just can't get over this one, so I'm just going to have to live with it. The answer is no. You may have to live with it for a time, but God is teaching you to fight, trusting in the Spirit. You keep coming back to the Lord. You keep confessing. You keep coming clean. Keep coming back to the Word. Don't let the enemy chase you away. I mean, what happened? You think back, what happened to Adam and Eve in the garden after they sinned? The Lord came to them, and where'd they go? They went the other way. There's no help when you go the other way. You have to come to the Lord, and He's glad to help. Remember that prodigal son? The dad was waiting for him. The dad ran to him. The dad hugged him and kissed him. And he didn't say, man, you're dirty, you're stinky, you need to move away, man, you smell like pigs, where you been? He didn't say that at all. He accepted him in all his filth and junk and everything and loved on him. You know, that's our God. Don't ever quit fighting. So as we get into the book of Joshua, you're going to hear me stress that one because, you know, it's funny. If you know Christians as well as I do. Maybe you're in that boat. I'm in that boat. Some things God delivers us from instantly when you get saved. I mean, I've heard people getting delivered from stuff and thinking, oh, man, that's so awesome. Why didn't it happen for me? You know, why didn't I get instantly delivered from anything that plagued me or bothered me? Why do I have any weak areas? Why doesn't God just patch all them up, you know? And the Lord is saying, I want you to learn to fight. I want you to learn that. I mean, you think about this. If God delivered you from every single thing that plagued you before you came to Christ, when someone else came up to you and said, man, I got saved, but I'm still having this problem, what would you do? You say, what's wrong with you, you sinner? You know, rather than saying, God loves you, man. He wants you to keep fighting. Don't give up, man. We'll keep praying for you. You keep coming back to the Lord. We'll keep praying. We'll keep loving on you. We'll put our arm around you, man. We'll join forces with you. Do not quit. Don't give up. Don't settle for a small piece of territory when God's got this whole thing for you. Okay? One of the biggest lessons you get from Joshua, man, don't give up. They had that land given to them and they didn't take it for those reasons. Too content or just got tired of the fight and gave up. So sad. And it's going to plague them too. We'll see some hard lessons on that when we get in further too. So think of this. God was with Moses. He was with Joshua. And God said, I'm not going anywhere. I'm with you always. Okay? The same is true for you and me. He is here to stay. He's not going anywhere. You've invited Him into your life. He paid for you with the blood of His Son. And He's not leaving. Don't let anybody tell you He's leaving you. He is not leaving you. God loves you so much. Jesus said, if anybody comes to me, there's no way I'm going to cast them out. No way. Okay? So we praise the Lord for His faithfulness. I'll go on to verse 6. It says, be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers, again, to give them. And the Lord tells him, be strong and of good courage. I think Joshua probably needed to hear these words. He had just lost Moses, who was a very competent leader for the last 40 years. That's a long time to be leaning on somebody. And now he's in charge himself of a few million people, leading them into a land that is filled with their enemies. That's got to be intimidating, you know? So the Lord tells him a number of times here, be strong and of good courage. And you and I need to be encouraged at times as well. Sometimes the task the Lord puts before us is scary or it's overwhelming. We're like, oh man, Lord, we're in over our head this time, you know. And it's really cool to hear the Lord tell you. And this is a great passage to come back to. He says, be strong and of good courage. If I'm leading you, I already got this. I already gave it to you. It's already yours. So man, we're so blessed to know he's leading and his presence is with us. All right. Now, when it comes to being spirit-filled, I know some people are thinking, I'm afraid to completely surrender to the Lord. I'm afraid to do that because I'm not sure what will happen next. All right. And the Lord's answer to them would be strong and have good courage. Yeah, because the Lord knows what he's doing. And when he calls us to surrender, he's got a plan for our life that he's not going to show you until you surrender. He's funny like that. He wants to see faith before he's going to show you everything he wants to do with your life. But I can encourage you, when you take that step and say, Lord, I'm yours, take all of me. I don't want nothing left. You take all of me, use it for your glory. It's an exciting ride. You don't know where it's leading, but man, it is an exciting ride. And you just praise the Lord to watch all the stuff he does. Now, verse 7, it says, only be strong and very courageous. And here's the reason. That you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. So he's telling him, you be strong and very courageous that you can obey. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. So the Lord wants this for all of his people, but especially for his leaders, okay? And here's the principle. It takes great strength and great courage to obey the Lord. The Lord lets us know right here, when you follow him, it's not going to be an easy ride. It's going to be a difficult walk, okay? But the Lord says, you be strong and of great courage to follow me, to obey me. Remember, when Jesus was teaching one time, there were a lot of disciples who walked away, it says. A lot of them didn't follow me anymore. He was talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, and they didn't get it. They only heard the physical side of that, and they thought, cannibalism, that's abomination. We can't do that. Obviously, he was trying to teach them a spiritual lesson. You have to receive me into your life. Then you'll have eternal life. But they didn't hear that, okay? So because they didn't understand, they walked away. Sometimes it's scary for you to follow the Lord. We just don't understand sometimes when the Lord's leading. We're thinking, really, Lord? You want me to do that? That don't make sense to me, you know? But you just trust the Lord because he knows what he's doing, all right? Even if we don't get it, he's got it. He understands. We just need to trust him, okay? I thought it was cool back when I first felt the call to the ministry, and I thought, Lord, how am I going to do this? The pastor I was under at the time, I saw him teach the word, and man, it just flowed out of him, and I thought, I know I can't do that. How is this going to work? You know, it was overwhelming. But you know, the Lord, he's like, I got this. You just do what I tell you to do. I got this. And sure enough, you know, the Lord started teaching me and teaching me and teaching me. And now some people think I know something, you know, and it's just all him. But it's just doing what the Lord tells you to do. And it's amazing what God will do through you. Now, did you notice how specific the Lord was here to him? In verse 7 there, he said, do not turn from this command to the right hand or to the left. The Lord kept it as a very narrow way he was supposed to walk. You don't take a step to the right, and you don't take a step to the left. You just keep going straight down that road. And so there's no excuses for stepping outside of God's will. That's the Lord's telling him. You have no excuse to step out of that. The Lord keeps the boundaries pretty tight on us because we need it. We get in trouble if we stray off the path. You've found that, I think. If you've walked with the Lord for some time and thought, I think I got a better trail than the Lord's showing me. You get off of that path and all of a sudden you realize you're in a sand pit or something. And it's like, how did I get here? And Lord said, it wasn't on my path. I don't know. How did you get there? You know, my path was straight, right? Small compromises getting off that path can lead to big mistakes. Now, let me repeat that. Little bitty compromises can lead to gigantic disasters. All right? Don't let the enemy lie to you. He likes to tell us that. We don't need to join forces with the world. We don't need anything the world has to offer. And those temptations come once in a while where somebody says, just do it this way. I know it's not the right way. Just do it this way. It'll work. You know? Those are those compromises the enemy is trying to lead you into to get you off of that path just a little bit. But you know, that path doesn't come right back. That path goes way over here and it leads to a nasty place. You don't want to go there. The Lord says, don't turn to the right and don't turn to the left. Some of you guys will get this. So aim small, miss small, right? Walk the straight and narrow. Matthew 7 tells us this. Enter by the narrow gate, right? Wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. God's ways are not easy, as you know, if you walk with the Lord for some time. You're going to face some challenges you never thought you could run against, and the Lord brought you through. And you were overwhelmed, but the Lord still carried you through that. But you got to catch this, and we'll stop at this point. At the end of verse 7, what does he say there? He says, I don't want you to turn to the right or left. For what reason? That you may prosper wherever you go. That's what God wants for all of his people too, especially for leaders. What's required for that? Complete obedience to God's word. That's why we stay close to the word. By God's strength, commit yourself to obey the Lord in every area of your life and not to compromise in the slightest thing. And we got to watch that enemy because he will try to tempt you in just one small area. It's no big deal, he'll tell you. The other thought you have is, everybody's doing that. Where do you think those thoughts come from? They're straight from the enemy who's trying to slow you down in your walk with the Lord. Don't pay any attention to those lies. As I said, the smallest, ittiest, bittiest little compromise can lead to gigantic disasters. People have found themselves in real messes, and they know, as they think about it, how they got there. They get off the path. Man, we need to pray for each other. We're going to pray for other brothers and sisters in Christ. And as we close, we're going to pray for other ministries too. You know, there are a lot of folks out there serving the Lord. A lot have humbled themselves. They've surrendered completely. They're walking with Christ. They're going wherever the Lord leads. They're going to some crazy places. They're going to some wild territory. But the Lord says, if I'm leading you, man, it's already yours. But they need prayer. They need prayer. So as we close, if you're here today, hopefully the Lord's been speaking to your heart, man. This book excites me because it's like moving forward, man. They're not sitting there anymore and talking about it. Now it's time to go. And I pray that's what the Lord's got us doing, man. We're getting ready to move forward. Lord, wherever you open the door, help us to see the open door. Help us to walk through that door and see what you're going to have. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. Father, I thank you that Jesus was willing to die on the cross to pay for our sins. He went to that place that was such a scary place to go, such an overwhelming place to go, to be a holy God and yet take the ugly, horrible, filthy, wicked sin of the world on yourself to pay for it. We can't understand it, Lord. We don't get that. We can never understand what it is to be a holy person, Lord, and take that ugliness on. But Father, we thank you for that great love you showed us. And Father, we believe that you love us. Thank you so much for your love. Father, you call us into that promised land to walk into that spirit-filled life, Lord, accepting the promises you lay before us. Help us, Lord, to have that faith. Give us the faith we need to trust you and to walk and see what you're going to do. Father, I know there may be someone here today who said, I've been wanting to walk the line. I just felt it was safer. I pray today, Lord, you shook him awake. I pray that you helped him have an uneasiness and being content where they are. Help us, Lord, never to be content with our walk, but to always want to go deeper with you, always want to go further. Father, if someone is here today and they don't know Jesus, I ask you to open their heart today. You died for them on the cross, and Lord Jesus, I pray you draw them to yourself. Help them to put their faith in you. Help them to believe that you were raised again to prove that their sins were forgiven. Father, we thank you for all the testimonies we have from this parade. Thank you for everything you've done. And we just give you so much praise, Lord. We look forward to where you're leading. Help us to follow. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.